Hello, welcome to your favorite Pokemon podcast, the most statistically significant podcast in the game.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 3 of your favorite Pokemon podcast. This week, I got tired of always being the youngest person on this podcast, so we brought in a couple of first-year masters to hang out with us, discuss our Atlantic City and Cologne regionals that happened this past weekend, and also get into some predictions for Knoxville. That's Isaiah Bradner and Tanner Hurley that we have with us today. So in a minute, we'll give each of them a second to introduce themselves a little bit. Isaiah obviously coming off a top four finish in Atlantic City, and Tanner also made day two there. So normally I would get into the League Cup stats just to start off this episode a little bit, but we're actually, there's only like three or four cups in the sample for this week because it was regional weekend, there weren't that many cups. So I'll probably just talk really briefly about that, but like we won't go into any detail with the decks. And then we'll probably just get to talking about the regionals and stuff. But yeah, let's give Isaiah and Tanner, whichever one of you wants to go first, just like say, you know, who you are.
So I'm Tanner. This is my first year in Masters. I've been playing Pokemon for like 8 years now. Really, I played a lot in seniors, chased the day two stipends and whatnot. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm Isaiah Bradner. I recently got top four at Atlantic City. Also first year master. I've been playing for, I think, just about 3 years now. So yeah, as Tanner said, played a lot in seniors, won 2019 NAIC, but yeah.
Right, two absolute cool. Gods.
Broken guys.
All right. So as I said, we had technically three major events this past weekend. We had the two regionals in Atlantic City and in Cologne, Germany. We also had a special event in Brazil, but we're not going to pay too much attention to that. Maybe just go over it briefly. I think it was actually Green's Reshazard that won that.
Plant four stamp. Let's go.
Yeah. yeah. And then just a lot of like Pika, Reshi, Mewtwo. Actually, the entirety of top eight was Pika, Reshi, Mewtwo. So yeah, pretty much what you would expect, I guess. Not too much to say there. And looking at the League Cup results, it's pretty much also just that. That's why I'm not even gonna bother talking about it. It's a really small sample, not statistically significant, but it's pretty much just Pika, Mewtwo, and Reshi. But we had, of course, Atlantic City and Cologne, and half of the people talking in this group chat right now made top eight at Atlantic City. That would be Isaiah and Danny. So I'm going to give each of them some time to like talk about their top eights. Maybe like we'll let Isaiah go first and talk about, you know, how he did at Atlantic City, and then Danny can also talk about his run.
What do you want me to talk about when you say talk about my top eight?
Just talk about like the deck you played, why you picked it, and then like kind of how your rounds went, like what kind of stuff you hit. Sure.
All right. So I played the Mewtwo Toolbox that became pretty popular. Obviously, won Worlds with Henry Brand, but it was a different build of the deck. Instead of playing the Pokégear version, we played the Jirachi version, three Jirachi to a skateboard. We played that and we chose that because it's a lot better. It helps you draw your stadium cards, which I think is extremely important, especially against Green's decks. It makes you a lot more resistant to stamp. And then in the earlier turns, it can help you find cards like obviously Mysterious Treasure and Cherished Ball, which just give the deck more of a flow. So that's why I picked that version of the deck. Otherwise, it was pretty simple. Didn't have any crazy techs in it, really. Just tried to go base consistency. My day one was actually really weird. I hit zero Pikarom or Reshizard or ability Reshizard on day one. I hit a lot of Greens decks, I think. Like three Greens decks, three Blacephalon, a Mewtwo Mirror, a Behemoth, and a Malamar on day one. So not a ton of decks you really expected to see. A lot more normal. A Malamar and so all pretty much meta decks there.
How'd the Behem go?
I cross divided in both games and he didn't evolve anything.
Broken.
It was Yeah, it was pretty busted. He never really got a chance to draw anything. He didn't go his way, but decent for me just because Cross the Red is such a broken attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then actually, let's go over to Tanner for a second. Tanner played, I'm looking at the PokeStats page right now, 26th place playing Pikarom. Same thing as Danny. So Tanner, talk for just a minute about like why you picked Pikarom and how your matchups went with that.
Yeah, so John and I were actually on Reshi Ability the night before, and we played like 6 or 7 games of the deck against Pika, and it was just so bad. Like, the deck was just terrible. So we decided that we were just going to end up playing Pika. So Alder, John and I all played the same 60. Alder changed like one card. Or Adler. Not Alder. I don't know. Yeah, Adler played the same 60.
Three.
But he played 2 Hoopa. I don't know what he was expecting. But in my run, I didn't hit any Mallys. And I hit 1 Reshi Ability throughout both the days.
Hmm. So did you play against like Mirrors, Mew Mew, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I hit a ton of greens Reshi. 2 of my losses were to Mirror. And then 1 of my losses was to Tristan. And the other one I think was to... I can't even remember. Greens. But yeah, the deck seemed pretty good throughout the weekend.
So I have 2 questions going off that. First of all, it sounds like you guys played against a lot of green stuff you both mentioned. So we discussed on our last episode kind of a spike in Gardevoir Sylveon in the cup sample the weekend before. So we were expecting a little bit of hype for that for Atlantic City. And it actually did pretty well in Cologne. It had 2 top 8s in Cologne. But and then also it sounds like there was a lot of greens Reshazard present. So why do you think specifically greens Reshazard might have seen a lot of play on day one?
I mean, I guess it just gives you more control than ability does. Plus plant stamp is really good. Maybe a lot of people just enjoyed playing that deck more. Didn't rely as much on hitting Welder. So I don't know if it's a better deck or not, but a lot of people seem to think it is.
In all honesty, it could be a cost thing. Like, you don't need to buy Dedenes. That could definitely be for some people. And then my other question, I should have written down because I forget it now. Give me a minute. What was I going to say? Something. I don't know. I'll come back to it. So yeah, let's pass it over to Danny. Danny played Pikarom in top 8 before getting demolished by Bradner in top 8, apparently. So talk about how that went, why you picked Pikarom.
I mean, I pretty much just Hail Maried into whatever Jimmy said was the play for this one. I was very adamant about playing Mewtwo. But the day on Friday, Jimmy and Caleb played 5 games and it went 4-1 in Jimmy's favor with Pika Judge. So we just assumed that it would be the better deck. Caleb and Azul stayed in a different hotel and actually just convinced each other to switch back to Pika, or to Mewtwo rather. So that was where that divide came from. And I think I don't really regret my choice in any way. Because Pika definitely had a lot of great options for the event, like, especially with Judge, it was just something that was so oppressive, and I hit 6 Ability Zards day one, so I really got, like, the lottery as far as, like, picking that deck into that field really worked out for me, yeah, and then, going into my...
Ability Zards.
What was that?
You stole all the Ability Zards from Tanner and Isaiah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I Zards.
I got all the Zards. These guys got they got some pretty solid matchups still, but I definitely got all the Zards day one. And it became a thing where, like, my one loss was a Gardy. I beat all 6 Ability Zards because the matchup's just that strong for the deck. And then what else? I had a Blown that could have gone either way. Actually, I misplayed against him and probably should have won, but I still won, and it could have gone either way. And then I got a Pidgeotto control that forced a tie against me, but I was going to win if I had a little bit more time. Going into day two, finally hit a Mally, but they dead drew. I was hungry for a Mally all event. Finally got one, bodied it. What else? Ryan Antonucci forced a tie against me. There was a misunderstanding though that cost us 2 minutes out of the round because they called time a little bit earlier than we expected. So in getting that corrected, it actually burned out enough time for him to force a tie against me instead of me winning. So and then I got a couple Pidgey controls that I bodied. So that was pretty solid. And then against Isaiah, the matchup I'd say is just really bad. But, you know, winning the coin flip on the Mewtwo side also helps. And then game one was also just a blowout where, like, I dead drew.
Raichu pass, yeah.
Yeah, Raichu pass is gas. And then game two, I completely, like, misplayed where I had a Stellar Wish. I had two plants off my wish I could have grabbed and, like, chose to grab an escape board instead of the plants. I just completely forgot that I had the option to shut off Isaiah's attackers, but I don't think had I grabbed the plant, it still would have gone my way just because of how much was going right for Isaiah there. But the deck definitely just did what it was supposed to do for me, and hitting the six abilities art certainly helped, as some of my teammates and testing partners did not do very well with the deck.
I remembered my second question. This is for Tanner specifically, because you mentioned that you and John had played some ability Reshi, and you thought it was terrible, and that's reflected in the Atlantic City top eight, where there was zero ability Reshizards, which I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people replying to the Pokestats tweet at least were like, where's the ability Reshi? Like, what happened? Because obviously, number one deck in League Cup samples for over a month, and really good performance at the previous events. But you mentioned that the deck felt really bad to you, and I think part of it is just that, you know, people countered it a little bit playing stuff like Pika, but talk about that a little bit. Like, why is it bad, or why didn't it make top eight or do well?
Yeah, so I've been playing it for a while, just kind of the default deck. Wasn't really comfortable with anything else in the meta, and for like the past week or so, just all the matchups seemed to be so bad. It just wasn't beating Pika, it wasn't beating Mewtwo. And then once we got to the event and we just kept losing with the deck, it was finally, we were like, we have to put this deck down.
Yeah, that makes sense. So here's where I want to go next. We saw something kind of interesting. We had actually the same finals match in both of our regionals in Germany and in Atlantic City. And that was Mewtwo versus Pidgeotto Control. Four very good players as well. We had Azul versus Grant Manley, and then we had Tord versus Sander Wojcik. I think that's how to say that. So, and of course, Mew Mew won both of those to become the regional champions. But the Pidgeotto players definitely felt that the matchup was winnable for them. Like, it's not a blowout in Mewtwo's favor. But yeah, let's have the three of you guys like break that down a little bit. Like, how good is Pidgeotto? Obviously, we know Mewtwo is good. How does that matchup go? And like, what do you expect going forward for those two?
I heard that Sander was winning game three when the time. Does anyone know if that's true?
I haven't heard that, but it's possible.
I mean, it was streamed.
Oh, I haven't looked at that. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the stream, but we can definitely go back and look at some point. I did hear, I remember Grant saying he thought the matchup was actually favorable, which we know Grant has a lot of hot takes, but Grant seemed to think he should have won that if he'd drawn better, I guess.
I think Grant's been saying that all week, that he thinks the matchup was favored.
Yeah, it's definitely a really good matchup for Pidgey, just because it comes down to, like, Mewtwo needs to hit the stones with the Espeoxys turn 2. Otherwise, Pidgey, and even then, Pidgey has the option to flip heads on Crushing turn 1, especially with the Jirachi build, and then has the option to just go with an early Articuno to kind of stop the Espeoxys until they can get some Pidgey set up. Also, even if all those Pidgeys got destroyed, you still have the Jirachis to kind of, like, keep the lock going. And off of a good stamp to 3 plus plant, you know, the sky's the limit with how many turns you have to, like, reset your birds back up. So
I definitely had the Jirachis help a lot. Like, when I was testing Pidgey, I never put the Jirachis in, and the matchup was kind of tough, but I could see I would make it a lot easier with the Jirachis.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
I was going to say that when Ian played me, Ian only ever benched two Pidgey. And so that meant that it was worth it to use the cross divide, because if I did, I would kill two, and then he'd just instantly have two more Pidgey he could put down, because I was never able to draw on a stamp, so I couldn't disrupt his hand. So I also think that they can just play with two for the majority of the early game, and then set the third or even fourth whenever they're able to hammer away enough energy that feels comfortable. It's just hard for me to as well.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of interesting things in Sander's list. We know he always comes up with some weird, control tech kind of stuff. He had that's one thing that I haven't seen in other lists is he instead of playing the Bench Barrier Mew, he was playing a Sky Pillar, which is definitely interesting. And then he was also playing the Mareep, which has the ability where you can put your opponent's active to sleep if the Mareep is active. So he would like something would get knocked out, he'd push up the Mareep with a U-turn board and then sleep the opponent's active and then go into his Oranguru or whatever. How do you guys feel about those two things?
Do you guys want to go first, or can I tackle
I
this
was
one?
gonna say I haven't really played Pidgey enough to have a good opinion on the deck.
Pidgey just seems like a normal control deck. Like, I play a lot of control, but I definitely think the Mareep seems like it could benefit the deck a lot. It just seems kind of gimmicky, but I think it could work. It clearly did.
I think All right, so I think the Mareep is a little greedy because it's a switch format, but that it's probably better to kind of to push that those spaces towards the Jirachi, because it is a control deck and you are gonna win a lot of the games that you do set up and get the lock going. So why, mess that up in any way by using different, different options when you could just stick with something that's super consistent and just gets itself going flawlessly,
I think Sander mentioned it was almost it's a little bit of not really like a backup option, but kind of just like extra insurance. Like maybe you're getting super unlucky with hammer flips or something, but you kind of just have that extra option that like maybe you get a lucky flip and it buys you a turn or something like that. It's just kind of like an extra cushion against like dead drawing or something. I guess it
That's
definitely was helpful for him because it got him into the finals.
yeah, for sure. It's like Sander kind of made up for the Jirachi strat with the Mareep in that sense.
Yeah, that makes
Yeah, I
sense.
definitely think the Jirachi's still better though.
Yeah, for sure.
So moving forward, like obviously we have Knoxville coming up as our next big event. Do you guys think Pidgeotto as a deck is still do you think or do you think it's tier one at all? And do you think it will continue to succeed in the next couple of weeks, or is it going to be countered more now that it has two finals appearances?
I think it'll definitely show up. I think the deck is obviously very good, as it was kind of shown this weekend. The biggest decks in the tournament were, or the decks that did obviously the best were the Pikaroms and the Mewtwos, and those are kind of thought to be the shakier matchups for Pidgeotto, I believe, for the majority of the public. So I think that the fact that Grant and Ian, to some extent, were able to beat those matchups that everyone considered rough does show that it's a force to be reckoned with. And I think that it's kind of hard to tech for. It isn't like, one of the easier ones, like last format for the plume thing. You could play Stealthy Hood and just, win. But obviously, Sander posted where he said if you want to beat it, play Cyrus in Jirachi decks. So Pika can play that. Mewtwo Jirachi can play that if it wants to. And then the stuff with Ditto, like abilities are to consider playing Ditto's Upstrika for that matchup. So maybe we'll see people implement techs. I don't think that I expected a ton, but if no one prepares for it and people bring up Pidgeotto, we'll do the same thing in Atlantic City, I believe. In Atlantic City.
Interesting. And then as for Mew Mew, so actually we were chatting a little bit before we started recording here. We were talking about my pet deck Fossils and how that Mewtwo matchup goes. And I was saying my plan for Knoxville is hope everyone else brings stuff that counters Mewtwo and people stop playing Mewtwo and because it's the Fossils matchup is not great. And then I can play Fossils and win. But on a more serious note, like what do you guys think will actually end up happening moving forward? Like, does everyone just switch to Mew Mew now that it's won those two events and everyone just starts playing that? Or do people like start countering it? And if so, what might show up that does counter Mew Mew?
I don't think there's anything in specific that counters Mew Mew. I mean, it just seems like really a good deck. But I think also everything in this format seems like it can kind of beat everything, especially with Stamp Plant or Reshiram being able to apply a bunch of pressure.
Real quick, I'm gonna say that I think that Azul's list like gets slammed by Guardian. Like, I don't really think he has any response to Guardian. I think that he said that himself. If you play Reshiram, then the matchup is obviously a ton better. But without Reshiram, I think your Guardian matchup is horrific.
Yeah, Azul went pretty greedy with that.
Was Azul not playing the Reshi?
He just played the stage two Zard and the cargo. He didn't play the basic Zard.
So he had zero outs to beating Guardian.
Yeah, he had literally nothing.
Yeah, they just put down Psychic Charm and you lose if it put that you lose the game. Even just stadiums is bad for you as well. So.
Yeah, how did that matchup go?
I destroyed the one time he played it.
He probably dodged it for the most part, which I guess is
Only
lucky.
two in day two, right?
Oh, did he?
No, there was only two in day two, I said.
He went 5-0 in day two. I mean, I hit a Guardian and I hit one Guardian and still made top eight. So I'm sure Azul could, by going 5-0 in day two, could have still hit two Guardian day one and then still make
No,
top
Danny,
eight.
I was saying there was only two Guardian in day two.
Yeah. I mean, the deck was also just not very heavily represented, nor will it ever be, I think. There's just better decks.
That is
Was it
true.
really only two in
On
day two?
one Pidgeotto, those were his
There
losses.
was only two. Yeah, I also know that Azul was saying he felt his Pikaram matchup was highly favorable. And he was saying like Pikaram was kind of doing okay against Mew Mew in day one, and then once everyone got into day two, it was like Mew Mew just started beating Pikaram because the Mew Mew players were better than the day one Mew Mew players. But I was talking to Emery Taylor, and he was saying like he went like 5-1 playing Pika against Mew Mew during the weekend. I think it was 5-1, and so he felt that the matchup was like really favorable. So there's not really a consensus on that matchup. So I was wondering if you guys have any input.
Real quick before we go into this, I beat the one Guardian I played with Reshiram in. My opponent didn't draw amazing, obviously, but I think the matchup's fine if you have Reshiram, obviously. So kind of what we talked about.
So Tanner, any final thoughts on first of all this past weekend, and then drop your thoughts on the meta moving forward. Like, what do you think might be good for Knoxville or for Cups this coming weekend?
Yeah, it definitely seemed like last weekend there was a lot of Pika. There was a lot of Mewtwo, less ability Zard than I expected, more Blounds, more Greens Reshi. So I could see the meta evolving into just abundance of Mew, definitely ability Reshi finally dying down, and maybe even more Guardian or people teching for Guardian because they expected. But I think that's the sleeper play going into the weekend, or maybe it was last weekend. Regardless, I definitely think it's gonna show up.
All right. Final question for Tanner. Which is worse, Malamar
Ooh, that's a tough one. I've played both two events, and I have never managed to make cut with either of them.
Cut
And I've
Worlds
played
Ninja?
twice. They're both terrible decks, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Malamar being worse. Actually, no, that's untrue. That's untrue. I top eighted a Worlds with Greninja, so I'm definitely gonna say Malamar's worse.
Casually just remembered you top eighted Worlds with Greninja.
Yeah, quick flex.
I guess that settles that. So unfortunately, we're gonna have to say goodbye to Tanner. He had to duck out. But we appreciate him coming on, and yeah, we'll have Isaiah kind of carry it for the rest of the episode. Clearly, he's better anyway. Yeah. So
Okay.
let's. I'll ask you the same question actually, and then we'll get into some topics a little bit less related to gameplay. Just final thoughts on Atlantic City and Cologne. Predictions for Knoxville.
Yeah, one thing that Tanner said, I kind of realized there was kind of a lot more Blounds than I think that I probably expected there to be. It didn't do great in day two, but maybe it's just because I played three on day one. I don't actually know any of the percentages or anything, but it seemed like there was more Blounds than than I expected. And Bergerac went 7-1-1 with it day one, so obviously it had at least some success. There's less abilities are than I expected, but one thing that I was kind of talking with my friends with is that this tournament kind of showed that, you know, in this format there was a lot of different decks that did well, but all the ones that did well were with good players, right? So maybe the best players just didn't bring Abilities Zard, or maybe a quantity of them didn't bring Abilities Zard, because you obviously saw Danny and them bring Pika. You see players like Azul, Caleb, I brought Mew Mewtwo, Tristan brought Mew Mewtwo, and then obviously Grant's group, Ian brought the Pidgeotto, they did well. So maybe it was just that the majority of good players were playing different decks and Abilities Zard, not that Abilities Zard was necessarily the least played or even the worst call.
Yeah, that's insanely true.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like that. But also the fact that, you know, a lot of those more well-known players kind of shied away from Abilities Zard does kind of say something about that deck. Like, oh, maybe it's actually not, you know, quite as good as everyone thought it was like 2 weeks ago. So one other thing I want to talk about related to last weekend is we have something really cool that actually just came out today. And that's the guys over at Complexity Card Gaming, the European team, came out with this really cool, like, I don't even know what to call it, kind of a data visualization thing. And so they actually, you can see matchup win rates for all of the, like, most represented decks in day two from Cologne regionals. And it's Cologne, not Atlantic City, because we had Arcane over there and not over here, ironically. Yeah, say what you will about that. But I'll just briefly bring up some interesting stuff, like going down the list here. It looks like Spiritomb was actually the deck with the highest win rate in day two, which is pretty interesting. But there was only like a couple of them in there. So
I think there was one.
There was two. There was like a regular Spiritomb, and then there was a Spiritomb playing the Gengar where you like put damage counters on GX all of it. Yeah, it's kind of wild. But then we have a little more normal, I guess. Pidgeotto with like a 59% win rate, pretty solid. And then Pikarom with like 53%, Greenzard about 50, Mewtwo about 50, Guardian about 50, like everything else pretty much. And then Quagnag, like not very good. But yeah, it's pretty, it looks like Pidgeotto and Pika were like the strongest of kind of the top tier decks, if we consider Spiritomb to be an outlier. And then like Malamar definitely kind of underperforming. Pidgeotto, it looks like, just had really favorable matchups across the board. It lost its one matchup against Quagnag, which I guess is kind of expected.
Yeah.
And then it pretty much was beating everything else. The same can kind of be said for Pikarom, except that it was not beating Pidgeotto, and it was going 50-50 or favorable against everything else. So definitely just some interesting stuff to look at. It's a really, really well done presentation. And I'll drop the link to that when we like publish this episode, you know, in the Facebook post and in the Twitter post. I'll make sure I have the link to this so you guys can check it out. But yeah, I thought that was just something I wanted to mention, and shout out the CCG guys for putting that together. Cause when I saw it in Facebook today, I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. Like as a, you know, as the Pokestats guy, I kind of was like, wow, this is really something. So I just want to mention that. But yeah, that's going to wrap up our Atlantic City and Cologne discussion. We might get into a little bit more Knoxville discussion at the end, but I wanted to, Danny and I wanted to ask some questions about, you know, Isaiah's kind of his Pokemon career, more than just like gameplay stuff, like, oh, how'd your regionals matches go? So I guess the question that kind of everyone goes to for these player interview kind of things is just like, how did you get into the game? You know, how long have you been playing? When did you start playing? So let's start with that.
And what's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh yeah, that's right. A good one. Yeah.
Blastoise, always has been Blastoise. He was like, I guess the first card that I really liked. So yeah, always loved Blastoise. Yeah, I said earlier, I think I've been playing the game for like I got to the game because some of my friends played it, and then they showed me the cards. They told me it was a game. I didn't know it was a game. I used to love collecting football cards, but I always get super bored because I was collecting them, and they wouldn't do anything. And my friends all told me, you know, Pokemon's this game that you can learn how to play. There's all this different competition strategy and endless amount of game you can play with it. And so I thought it was super cool. Started playing the game, went to like two states, went to a local cities, and then I went to my first regionals. Did pretty well at the regionals, and then from there it's just snowballed, gone to more and more throughout my years as a senior.
Very nice. My next question, I know the community in general kind of knows, like, your parents have been very supportive, and you've talked about this a lot, or your parents, I know, have been, like, you know, really supportive of you playing and traveling to all these events all over the place. Which I know is not something that every player can say, you know, that's young enough to have to still deal with their parents in terms of Pokemon. So do you think this has been, like, an advantage for you in terms of your success? Like, how have your parents helped you succeed in the game?
Well, I think that one huge thing, as you said, is, you know, having the support of my parents, knowing that they want me to do well. They are just for me to do well. The first person that I would play with consistently was my dad. Whenever I first got into the game, he learned how to play the game so that he could play against me and test against me and help me get ready for the regionals. So that obviously helped me a lot. And then just as much as their support has been big for me growing, I think that their trust has been just as big, because they've started to let me go to more regionals on my own. It's to the point where my dad travels a lot to speak, so I wouldn't be able to go to half the regionals if they didn't trust me to be on a plane by myself, stay with friends who are older than me by myself. If they didn't trust me to be responsible through those things, then I wouldn't be able to go to these events. So I think that's definitely an advantage I have and one helpful thing for me. But yeah, just having their support is always amazing. You want your parents to find pride in whatever you do, and parents find pride in this is obviously makes me want to do it more, and it's satisfying when I do well because they enjoy my success as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's pretty cool. It's almost like a feedback loop of, like, you know, your parents need to trust you to a certain extent to let you go out to all these tournaments all over the place by yourself, but then you also kind of gain more, you know, trust and respect and responsibility by doing that. So it's definitely cool the way that works out. Yeah, Danny, did you have questions?
Yeah, I actually had a couple set up. First thing I want to ask is, so we all know how it is as far as you with, like, being on Team ARG and stuff, you know, being a senior player or having been a senior player around all these masters, maybe even testing with them, getting coached by some of them. But how do you feel the interactions changed going from seniors to masters? Do you think you're still looked at the same? Do you think maybe that you feel like you're looked at as an equal now, especially since you have to play against these players? And on top of that, do you think it's kind of a situation where they see the growth in you, especially with this top four finish in your first event?
So I think one thing where you said be looked at as an equal, I don't know if I fully deserve to be looked at as an equal yet. I've only had obviously one tournament in Masters. These people have been playing for multiple years, have much more experience. So obviously it did change a lot. I hung out with a lot more Masters I did this weekend. I think that one big thing was just that I was on a different schedule. When I was in seniors, the seniors would be playing at the same time as me. We would end at the same time. So naturally I'd just be hanging out with them. But when I'm in Masters, we have different round times than the seniors do. So we would be finished sometimes whenever they were playing, or the opposite. So I would naturally just gravitate towards those who same time as me. I do feel like it has changed a bit from me going into Masters now that I am competing against them, especially when I was doing, everyone was like, you know, you never really know when people age up from seniors into masters, whether they're actually going to do well. And not only me, I think that the other seniors this weekend did that as well. Rowan, Raymond, and Tanner all did very well in their own rights. So that was cool this weekend to kind of be able to be recognized. And I think, as you said, yeah, there was a little bit more respect, but it wasn't that different. Everyone at Masters has always been so nice to me. That's one of the reasons I love the game. Obviously, the community has been great. So, but I did hang out with people more simply because the rounds changed and I was playing in day two with them and stuff like that. So you did interact more, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you, one of my questions I wrote down was, did you feel by like the older Masters players as a senior and then now as a first year Master? And it sounds like that's the case. Do you think that there's any kind of significant gap in the, or a change in dynamic maybe in terms of how Masters interacted with you when you were a senior, as opposed to now that you're kind of a fellow Master, you're kind of in that same group? Do you think there's any kind of like just difference in that dynamic?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. I don't know if there's like a specific thing that I can say. And I honestly don't know if it's a difference in how they act or if it's a difference in how I feel, you know, going and talking to them as someone who is going to play against them, who's in the same tournament as them. Who's playing generally considered much easier competition. I think that that's a big difference. And to be, you know, lucky enough to have done so well at the first regionals was obviously, it felt a lot different because, you know, you have all these great players that you've looked up to that you've seen do well all your life in Masters, and then you're up there with them. So I think that just them acting different, it was me kind of feeling different being in the same playing field or the same playing area as them, if that makes any sense.
Do you, so as far as that goes, outside of the games through interaction, do you feel it's similar within games? Like, do you think, for example, the quality of play between divisions has been noticeable? Like, do you think that I guess a bad quote master is still better than a bad quote senior, or do you think it's mostly just the same? Like, how do you feel with that?
To put it bluntly, are Masters better than seniors?
So honestly, first of all, I didn't hit a ton of great Masters this weekend, to be honest. Like, in the final rounds of day one, I obviously hit Rahul, Burge, and then a good friend of mine, Rob, who they're pretty good players. And then I hit Danny, obviously, in top eight, Azul in top four. And I guess my day two was pretty good. So there was definitely a noticeable difference in that. But honestly, I didn't see a huge difference in the bad Masters to, I guess, bad seniors category, if that's what we want to call it. I don't think there's a huge difference in at the game, then you're not going to see the next level plays. So I don't think that the difference between Masters and seniors who don't see those plays is significant enough for me to notice a difference in that respect. But I do think that I hit a lot more players that I would consider good or that I don't think misplayed, but obviously I had more rounds. So also the thing of once you get into day two, it's like you hit someone and you're not going to be like, oh, this person's an easy win. You never really say that, but like in day one, you might sit down and you're like, oh, I don't know who this person is, probably won't be the toughest match. But in day two, especially if you're doing at the top tables, you're going to know who everyone is. You're going to know that everyone deserves to be there. So
right. That
aspect is different, but I don't think that the bad senior, bad master aspect is a lot different in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not a dynamic I can speak to as much because I was I started playing as a master. I never had the senior's experience. But it seems like, you know, Pokemon is kind of just a game where like, it's almost like age doesn't matter a ton. You know, certainly like all the seniors are like, it's not like their brains are not developed enough as the Masters to the point where they're just worse at the game. It's like, you know, you're good at the game because you practice a lot and you test against people who are good. And you just kind of gain that like game sense over time. And it's not really so much of an age factor that determines how good you are. That's just my perspective on it.
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess, did you have like, a specific goal going into this season? Did you want to maybe prove, like, and this is something I've been playing forever, so I even aged up from a senior to the master division. And my huge thing was just wanting to prove to these people who, I always looked up to, especially being in Florida with so many good players when I was a kid. Wanting to prove that I was on equal footing with them. And I guess you kind of touched on it earlier by saying that you still feel that maybe you shouldn't be looked at as an equal yet. But was that your goal this season to kind of like set that up, or did you have a different goal in mind? Like, what's your overall goal?
So honestly, I really didn't know what my goal is going to be going into the season. I don't know if I know what my goal. I definitely don't know what my goal is yet because I did great at the first regionals. The plan was always to go to pretty much everything first quarter. I don't think I'm going to make Portland. That's just a lot of school to miss back to back. But I think that it was a goal to prove myself to the other masters. But I don't know if I ever doubted that I would do it eventually. I kind of talked about this when I went on with Chip, where I was saying that do it this year. I think that I felt that eventually I would do well enough in Masters where I would be considered a good master or a top player. And who knows, maybe I don't cut anything else for the rest of the year. And this was just the first thing that I did well at, and I don't do well at anything else. But definitely is a big thing when you're going up into Masters, where if you do bad at the regionals, you're always kind of worried. Like I lost round one at the last regionals, for example, and I wasn't really worried that I would do. Everyone wouldn't respect me, I guess. I don't know if I looked at it any differently, if that makes any sense. Like doing bad in seniors and doing bad in Masters, I don't think I felt a huge difference in them. I didn't think that people would look down on me or be like, oh, he's a bad player, he can't keep up with Masters, because everyone has bad tournaments. So I think that I thought that eventually I would be able to show myself as a good master if I was truly a good master. So that wasn't a huge thing I was worried about going into the year, but I definitely want that to happen. I definitely hope it'll happen at some point. So
Okay.
sorry, that was kind of abstract.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a solid way to go about it. Like, definitely a lot of people have these expectations, and going in with no expectations and just going from tournament to tournament is the mindset that you need to be a winner. So I mean, you get it, so that's good. And then Tate, I don't know if you had any other questions. I think you had a couple good ones.
Well, I wanted to maybe ask a little bit about your life outside of Pokemon. What are some other things when you're not playing Pokemon, flying across the country to play Pokemon? What's some other stuff that you're interested in? And I know I don't even know if you started giving any thought to college or anything like that. It all seems so far away, maybe. But like, what's some stuff you might be interested in for like a major or any like what do you enjoy in school? And then what other activities do you enjoy outside of Pokemon?
So outside of Pokemon and outside of school, I really don't do a ton. I don't do any extracurricular activities at my high school. I go to youth group with my church, but other than that, I really don't have a ton that I do outside of Pokemon, mainly just hanging with my family, chilling at home. So that's the main thing that I kind of do outside of school. Inside of school, I really enjoy math. I really enjoy numbers. They've kind of clicked. I've loved doing them. So I'd like to do some profession with that in the future. I don't know what that would look like going into college. Still, obviously, trying to figure that out. Two more years left in high school. So, if you're in high school, you get to decide whether or not you want to go into early college. You may get accepted into a governor's school program, which is a special thing that our state has for a few students. So, those are two big academic things coming up. But other than that, I think I'd love to work with numbers someday. But I still have yet to find out a specific thing that I would like to do.
Once Pokestats makes it big, then we'll be sure to hire you.
I did.
I mean, yeah, that should do it. That's pretty good. We definitely, I think, tackled not only the meta, but we also tackled, and this is kind of good for a lot of if we have any senior listeners, just something to look forward to when you're aging up, or just in life in general, is that like you don't always have to look at it as like a thing where it just gets tougher and tougher. But if you just look at it as you doing your best at whatever you're doing, then you're gonna kill it. So definitely really good lesson to be learned out of this one. So thanks a bunch, Isaiah, for coming on, and we seriously appreciate it. And if you have any shout outs or anything that you wanted to give, now would be a really good time to hit us with those.
Yeah, sure. Shout out Team ARG for sponsoring me. Shout out to Team Rocket's Hideout for letting me write articles there. I actually have an article tomorrow. It's Thursday, so it'll be dropping Friday or Saturday, one of those days.
It'll be out by the time you listen to this. Yeah.
On last weekend, so definitely encourage you to go read that. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Huge shout out to Danny and Tate for inviting me on. I had a great time.